Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out.
My good friend Kevin Joseph. Kevin G. Joseph, if you want to be specific. He agrees with at least my thought, and I think Sean's right there with me, that Cam Newton 100% had that hat made specifically for that occasion.
I just wanted to ask, because I thought it's not outside the realm of possibility, but the specifics with the color, yeah, probably got it.
I think, according to KJ, Cam has a hat company.
There we go. So he has a lot of hat guys, yeah. I imagine, that work for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Cam Newton made his first appearance on First Take earlier today, and it was at Tennessee State, an HBCU. Okay. So the Texans are playing at noon our time. It'll have our focus, but I kind of wish the Baltimore-Washington game wasn't in the same time slot. It is, at least in my eyes, the most intriguing game beyond Texans-Patriots, and let's be fair. Texans-Patriots is only intriguing to the people here and the people in New England because Drake May is playing. Around the country, eh, whatever. But I don't want to get into, is Washington for real? But I do want to see what Jaden Daniels looks like against Baltimore. They can lose that game. They should lose that game. But is he a Stroud-like player this year? Is he going to be a guy who can handle anything that's being thrown at him? And it's also kind of a referendum on Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury, when he got hired with the Commanders, everyone's like, what are you doing putting a young quarterback with Cliff Kingsbury? He doesn't do a good job mentoring quarterbacks. Mostly people referencing the Kyler scenario where Kyler got worse, or at least the team got worse as seasons went on. And as the seasons went on year after year, the team wasn't better than what they were earlier in Cliff's tenure. So why he got fired. But so far, so good. The question is for them is that a Cliff thing? Is it a Daniels thing? And is Baltimore, who currently leads the NFC East, a team we should actually be considering a potential contender? Contender strong. I'm not sure who is a contender in the NFC. There eventually will have to be one. But I watched the 49ers play yesterday. And as the injuries continue to pile up for them, I'm not sure about them. Seattle had a chance to kind of stamp themselves as one, and they kind of fell on their face. So that would make you think the Commanders have a slot to kind of fill as far as one of the teams to consider in that conference. And they got a chance to prove themselves, because Baltimore, despite the tough start, is one of those teams we just immediately think is going to be around when it matters. Now what they do in the playoffs, we can start having discussions about Lamar Jackson and his inability to play as well as he does in the regular season. But as a perennial playoff team, Baltimore is one of those, always considered a favorite, and Washington has a chance. So that's a small screen one, I think, for me. I can go multi-view, I guess, possibly. But I think I'm going to keep the Texans on the regular TV and just keep track of Baltimore and the Commanders. Got to have my full focus on the Drake May era beginning, I guess. But Baltimore, I guess.
Those last two words really took the knees out from under.
I mean, come on. I don't have high hopes for Drake May, actually, overall, to be honest with you. But as far as this game,
especially not, yeah.
Yeah, no. But I kind of wish they would have pushed Washington and Baltimore to the later window, because the later window is not that great. I think you got the Lions and the Cowboys. And
Lions,
that's about
Cowboys.
It.
I think it's a situation where they're trying to clear the way for that to be the marquee game of the late window.
Sure.
Because you get some AFC West with Chargers Broncos, NFC South with Falcons Panthers, and the only real game, and it's more of a TV game than an actual interesting one, is Steelers-Raiders. That's your late window with Lions-Cowboys. So I think it's a week where they're like, hey, let's try to just make the Cowboys game an extra national game.
And if you're looking at the early window, sure, we're Texans-centric, but the early window isn't filled with great games, so they probably wanted one in each window.
Is there a lot of buys or something?
Well, it is bye weeks for some teams. I don't know that the teams on the bye would be ones we would care that much about.
Yeah. It's just whenever there's like a week like this.
Sure.
That was a weird way to say that. I always think like, are all the good teams on bye? Kansas City and the Rams, the Dolphins. And the Vikings are on bye.
Yeah,
so KC and the Vikings.
But unless they're playing each other, I mean, they'd still be playing teams that weren't that interesting. So that's what it is. We'll obviously be Texans centric, but the best game of the early slate is that Baltimore Commanders game, and we'll see what Baltimore has for Jaden Daniels as they will try to get tricky and confuse him a little bit. He hasn't had many problems. That offense has scored early and often in their ball games, and that's why they're 4-1. Baltimore is a touchdown favorite in that one with a total of 51.5. So points expected to be scored in that one. To who? The Commanders?
Yeah. Touchdown underdogs? That's what Texans Patriots is.
Okay, when you put it in those terms, yes, it is disrespectful. But
I guess the Ravens are at home, the Patriots are, or the Texans are on the road.
Yeah.
So that's a couple points there.
The Texans at home against the Patriots are probably 10.5, 11.
Nine and a half, ten.
Something like that. So, and we'll see if the Texans can live up to that because they don't cover. They did cover last week.
They did cover. They're on a hot streak of covering.
Yes, they're 1-4, but they're on a hot streak.
One and one in their last one, or 1-0 in their last one.
Congratulations to them. They were a great team last week because they covered. Before then, they had simply just been
just not an
awful. Well, they were an awful team 1 week, and the other couple weeks they were a good team. Yeah. So we'll see what the Texans do, and can they cover a touchdown point as a 7-point spread as a favorite going into New England. Oh, I mentioned KJ as a guy who confirmed that Cam is a hat guy because he has a hat company. KJ actually wore a hat to the listener party. I've never seen one of these hats before, and I immediately asked, where could I get one? It was a Franklin hat. Franklin from the Peanuts.
Oh, that's GTA 5?
No. Franklin from the Peanuts. The one peanut, well, the only way I can describe him is the one black peanut. He's the only, and he became a thing on the morning show because someone sent a picture of Franklin comparing him to me because he was the one peanut sitting on the opposite side of all the other peanuts.
I've seen that picture.
Even Snoopy had a prime seat. Well, Franklin,
white.
I was gonna go. He's the white guy's best friend, but sure, Snoopy's white. Okay,
he is white. Look at him.
He is a dog that happens to be.
What color would you say?
Well, he has white fur. Yes, with black hinge on him with his nose and his ears, I guess. He has black accents. But yes, but overall, he is a white dog. Doesn't talk. Snoopy doesn't bark with an accent, no. He has black accents like clothing. It'd be funny if Snoopy opened his mouth and he sounded like he was from Name a City. There.
I won't do it.
No.
I'll just steer clear.
Then. Yeah, you should still steer clear. But yeah, so I say, hey, give me that hat. And I got a Franklin hat
at home.
And I didn't say that. I said, where'd you get that hat from? He said,
did KJ just take it off his head and give it to you?
No, I didn't say, hey, give me that hat. He ordered
7 3/8, right?
He ordered that hat for me. I was going to get it myself, but he ordered it for me. I appreciate that. Came in. I haven't had a chance to wear it yet, but I was like, yeah, Franklin. That's my guy.
You're the Franklin of ESPN 97.5.
No. At least from 7 to 6, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Better than being the pig pen, I guess. Who's the pig pen of 97.5?
Let's not go there.
No?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't give
him. Linus. How about that?
Who's a sweetheart and everyone loves him? No one. No one's the Linus of 97.5. What are you talking about? There's not one, but, well, Michael probably has the highest approval rating.
MC,
if we're going to give him Linus, Michael Carroll probably has the highest approval rating. So if we're going to give him the meek piano playing persona, which I'm not, but he would be the Linus.
He has an instrument too.
Who would be Charlie? His voice?
And Adobe Audition.
We all have that.
But he makes a, you know.
He does a great job with the yes.
Yeah, I can play piano, but I'm not Mozart. You know?
Oh, the Mozart of Adobe Audition at 97.5. Credit to Michael Carroll. Who's the Charlie Brown?
Probably a
big-headed dope who never learns his lesson?
Oh.
Oh, look at the football. Who's that guy?
I was going to give him leader of the pack, but I guess, yeah.
I guess Charlie Brown is that, but.
Yeah, it's Charlie Brown and the Peanuts.
But is there a Lucy that tortures Charlie Brown day to day? Someone asked who Pigpen is. Art, we're not answering that question. I don't know that anyone stinks here. But,
no.
Or who's dirty all the time, no.
No, pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good hygiene here.
Hygiene from all.
Well, for the most part, we'll see.
There's some tissues.
Lance is the pig pen. He always leaves like his coffee marks and tissues around.
He's not a dirty.
He doesn't have a cloud of dirt following him. He just leaves stuff around.
Yeah, he leaves the dirt behind.
Yeah. Unlike Pigpen, Pigpen's actually magical. The fact that a cloud of dirt follows him. It's a wonderful thought. Hey, we're just gonna have a kid who dirt just sticks to him.
Maybe it's an allegory for the
you think Charles Schultz was in his bag?
The mental health issue. He's depressed.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Couldn't get away with calling him possibly. You couldn't get he had a bad family life. His dad's not around. His mom has worked too hard. Yeah. You can't get away with calling a character Pigpen anymore.
No, you can't.
No, the cartoon or actual live action. There's no chance.
Pigpen.
It's not a thing you can do.
Stinky.
But Art, to answer your question, it's not a like for like comparison. But I would go Lance Erline. He's already trash ass in my phone. Might as well just throw Pigpen on it too. But it's not a real good one though. People wash here, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully.
I don't know. Sometimes on those Saturdays when you think no one's going to be here, that can get a little sketchy.
Hey.
Not you specifically.
You're right. But
I know.
Hey.
I wasn't I've been a guy who came in on Saturdays when no one's going to be around. Shower, whatever. Yeah. Ain't no one going to be here. I'll do that when I get home after an 8-hour shift alone in the building.
And it's also like doing, because I used to do Saturdays and Sundays like 8 to noon or 8 to 2. And I was just like.
Yeah, the Friday night.
I'd rather just have the extra 15 minutes of sleep.
Yeah, no one's going to be here. I'll come. I'll take care of that when I get home. Yeah,
just
what do I care?
Just spray extra on the deodorant.
You'd be lucky if you got that. If I knew no one's going to be around. What am I using
mostly
spray?
Mostly for me.
Yeah, just for yourself. You don't want to catch a whiff. Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a little. Ooh, oh, man. Oh, man.
I really smell like last night, huh? Maybe chew some gum.
It's rough. It can be a rough one sometimes on those Saturday mornings when you're strictly a weekend guy. Okay. We'll come back with we'll hear from Bobby Sloak again talking about what he considers the big issue for the Texans and what they're trying to correct going forward. Because when your kicker can make all those 50-yard field goals, that's cool. But you'd rather have him not have to attempt them all. So Bobby Sloak will discuss that issue. And we'll hear from him when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And you know who isn't a Pigpen? Billy Brown, the owner. And if you go to him, he'll make sure your home isn't a place where dirty, disgusting water, stinky water is all around. Whether it be a leak or you need a full-on repiping, they'll take care of you. Bad water, smelly water can change your home in its entirety. You don't want that in your walls. You don't want that on your floor. That's why you go to Billy Brown. You call Aqueduct Plumbing Company, 281-488-6238. That's the number. You call them. You want a free price quote? They'll do that for you too, because we're not always sure what the problem is. You just know there is one. Get the experts out there to take care of you and check it out. So they do the small jobs. Could be a leak. That's not something you can take care of, but they will. Or it could be a big job, from repipes to getting a plumbing contractor out there, new construction, remodels. They do it all. Water heaters, tankless water heaters, all that is in their bag at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
That's Michael Carroll. You'll hear him actually in the studio a little bit later. And he can tell you it's not the same. But he'll be back here joining us to talk about all the things you should be watching if you're not watching them. All right. Bobby Slowick joined us earlier. By that, I just played some sound, or at least Sean did. He talked to the media yesterday. The first clip we played was him discussing the absence of Nico Collins and what that might mean. And he kind of echoed what I've been saying all week. We're not comparing notes. Just we happen to agree on this. Nico Collins is not replaceable. We can talk about how good of a player Stephon Diggs is, the impact that Tank Dell had last year before he got hurt. But Nico is your number one. The talk about, we'll distribute to who's open. We found out that's not real. If you have a number one receiver, you are doing your best to get him touches because he's the guy getting open more often than not. The offense is built around showcasing that guy, and we've seen that through the first 5 weeks of the season. Now they have to change. So here's, but, you know, Nico Collins was here, around, and they were still struggling in a certain part of the field. All those long field goals are great, but there's a reason why they had to take them. Here's Bobby Slowick discussing their problems once they get beyond the 45-yard line and what they need to do to correct it.
And, you know, like statistically, we've been good on third down. We've been good in the red zone. We've been good in yards. There's like this void somewhere between the plus 45 and the plus 30 that we've had some issues in. And that right now as a staff is what we're in there grinding and trying to figure out. Because really in the game where we stalled in the second half was we had two, really three, if you count the 44-second play, times where we got across the 40-yard line and we had no points to show for it, you know, which that gets hard. That's hard to win in the NFL when that happens. So we were fired up as a team that we were able to rally together and get that done.
Yeah. Now, they took advantage of the Bills making a mistake by not running the football or simply not even getting a first down late, gave them a chance to make a short completion, call a timeout, then Kymie Fairbairn made that field goal. But the drive before, they're in that area again, third and five. They got called for intentional grounding, pushed them out of field goal range, and they had to punt. So it has been a thing in clutch situations, in the middle of the game. It's something you got to correct. They are not where they are, where they want to be offensively beyond the penalties because of that. They're on the other side. They're on the other side of 50 too many times to have struggled the way they have been, particularly in the second half offensively. Sean and I went through those numbers earlier that since the Colts game where they could run the football, Joe Mixon was available, they have not scored more than 7 points in the second half of a football game. They top out at seven. That has to change. This is a team we expect to be dynamic offensively. Now they just have to overcome the absence of Nico Collins to do it. So we know it's a point of emphasis. DeMeco Ryan said that about penalties too, particularly in the offensive line. And those have for the most part, gone away. So we will see on Sunday if this new point of emphasis, when you're at the 45-plus, are they turning those into touchdowns as opposed to settling for these long field goals. You know what? Baby steps. How about we make it 35-yard field goals, 40-yard field goals? Maybe we don't stall out immediately when we get to like the 40-yard line. I don't need three touchdowns in your first three possessions once you cross the 45. But, you know, you want to get into the high red zone? You want to challenge getting into the end zone? I take it. I don't need everything to be perfect right away. He's already going to do it. And while it's great, the fact that your field goal kicker is going to be maybe a record holder for 50-plus yard field goals, it's good and bad all at the same time. You want him to do it when it's 5 seconds remaining and you're trying to win a ball game, and you know there's not a lot of pressure on your offense because the field goal range line is at the 40-yard line. That's great. But in the second quarter, let's go score a touchdown. So, well, we hope the Texans can do that going forward, and maybe the running game helps. And if Joe Mixon's available, which he possibly could be, that would be a good start. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Michael Carroll of Comcast. Michael Carroll will recommend things for you to watch And we'll also discuss what is happening on Comcast this week, which I don't know if this is a recent thing, but I saw the grid, which is it just gets sent around to us so we know what's going on every week. Comcast has a new time. It is from 8 to 9 tonight, I believe, on ESPN 975. So sometimes paying attention to those emails you kind of discard, they work out. I didn't want to sound foolish and go 9 to 10, and Michael's like, actually, 8 to 9. So you can find Comcast tonight, 97.5, 8 to 9. And speaking of where you can listen and how you can listen, if you're having issues driving around the city, east or west, there is a solution where you don't have to flip from 92.5 to 97.5. It is 97.9 on HD2. So if you have an HD radio, 97.9 HD2, you get clear listening no matter where you are in the city. Give it a beat. Doesn't come on immediately once you flip it on to 97.9, but it will come. And then you'll be able to hear us and anyone else you want to listen to on the station clearly no matter where you are, from Galveston to Kingwood, 97.9 HD2. All right, we'll be joined by Michael Carroll when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
And action! It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is in the building, and there's a lot of Comcast for you to take in if you want. There are three episodes this week, issue 560, issue 561. And because 561 was so long, they did a double episode, one featuring Toxic Fans. And that one won't be on tonight from 8 to 9. The Agatha All Along and Penguin spoiler review episode will be on. Michael did the podcast with Fred of Durf Designs. You can listen to that from 8 to 9 here on ESPN 97.5. So, you did go see Joker.
I did.
Follow You Do. Mm-hmm. I have made it well known that musicals and me don't mix. I am not watching anything that asks me to listen to people sing as they drive the story forward, or in some cases, maybe doesn't even drive the story forward. I'm just out.
Yeah.
So, you have seen it. I know what happened in it, but we don't have to get spoilers for people who are still interested. It just came out. Your non-spoiler thoughts on Joker, Folie à Deux.
It's not a terrible movie. I don't know if Sean has talked about it on the podcast, or on the podcast, on the show as well, but it's not a terrible movie, as some reports make it seem.
Okay.
It is a okay movie, but it's not great. It's definitely not something that I would recommend go see. It, you know, the thing that, kind of like you, I'm not a big fan of musicals. I'll watch a musical here and there, but for the most part, I'm not into them. But I would also argue that this one, while it does have musical elements, they didn't even go full bore with the musical. It's not like they did these full on, like there's songs in it that go on for 2 or 3 minutes, but it's nothing that I would expect from
Wicked. It's not like
yeah,
Wicked.
It's not like it's Wicked. Not like Greatest Showman. It's not like anything like that.
High School Musical.
Yeah, not the greatest of them all, High School Musical. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like that. It's I had at one point, I don't know if I talked to you about this, Sean, but I had at one point in my theater where Joaquin Phoenix is Arthur Fleck starts to sing in a critical moment of the film. And I just heard a bunch of people laughing and one guy go, "Why?"
Yeah.
It was just like, what the first film did, again, I talked about it last week. The ambiguity of the first film is what I liked. This time, there really isn't much in terms of the ambiguity, because the fantasies are the songs. So it's not like you question whether that really happened or not. Obviously, it didn't, because they're not doing a song routine right in the middle of it. It's not like a bunch of people get pulled into it. It's strictly Joaquin Phoenix. And even at that, Lady Gaga is not even they bill it as Lady Gaga, Joaquin Phoenix. She's a plot device to a certain extent for a lot of that movie. Okay. She's not a she's underutilized, I would say. And they don't even let her like go full board with her singing voice, which is baffling if you're going to have a musical.
So she's more just, I guess I would say, she's supposed to like blend in. So like Lady Gaga's voice would be something that would obviously, if she was opening up, would be big. But it's just like a mentally ill, I guess, person singing as opposed to it's Lady Gaga singing.
There's a whole thing with her character.
Yeah.
It also seems like it's a little bit of like, hey, we don't want to blow Joaquin Phoenix out of the water. Like we have to like keep this relatively even in the singing department. Because Joaquin Phoenix is just kind of like,
yeah, because they're not
talk
on the same
singing
level.
Or
yeah.
like mumble singing through mode. Like Joaquin Phoenix doesn't really pop the clutch and
but,
really,
yeah,
really
no
go
one,
for
like,
it.
Like really tries. There's not, you know, I don't
no
know.
No one goes for it.
No one goes for it. Yeah. Okay. And a third of this movie is musical and it's
none of it works.
None of it works. It's all like an amalgamation of ideas that were not fully fleshed out, it feels like. And I've seen people that have made the case, well, these are Arthur Fleck's fantasies and he's not really that good of a person, so that it's not going to reflect like this great thing. And I get that, but if I daydream of myself being a singer, I'm going to daydream as me being the best singer that there is.
Yeah, no one.
I don't daydream being like, if I'm playing basketball, I don't daydream to be a sixth man or not even that, a 12th man on the bench.
Yeah, when we're kids growing up and you had a court, whether you're at home or at a park, you don't think, I'll let me get this off as a rebound for a putback to win the game. That's not what kids think about.
I'm counting down and I'm taking the final shot. Yeah. If I wanted to reenact my real life, I would be sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
I'll just sit on the sidelines.
Yeah, no one goes in the shower and goes, I'm going to put in a mid performance.
Yeah. No one does that.
No one sings that way. No.
And if it is in his head, I would imagine he would have, you know, I get what Sean's saying though. They can't push him too much.
Yeah.
Cause he doesn't have
there's
the
limitations
same,
there.
Yeah. There's limitations, but it doesn't even feel like they really pushed him either. No.
So, Sean, does it reach your level of bad movie? Because you say you like bad movies. Michael's saying it's not even that bad. Does it reach the level where it's so bad you're entertained by it?
No, because the singing, like, it's not enjoyable. But like he was saying with his theater experience, like you do at a certain point I was just kind of chuckling with like, oh my god, they're doing this again, like this obviously isn't working. It's like watching a team keep calling plays that just aren't working. Like every time they run the ball, they get stuffed at the line,
but they
keep calling runs.
So a lot of people's Bobby Sloak experience.
Yeah, yeah, exactly,
whether that's right or wrong. Yeah,
and the non-musical parts of the movie are like mostly pretty good.
I mean, they're great performances. Don't get me wrong. Like the Joaquin Phoenix, Lady Gaga for what they do.
Brendan Gleeson. Brendan Gleeson's eaten in this movie.
Zazie Beetz only has a brief moment in this movie.
Yeah. The little guy from the first movie.
Yeah, Lee Bell. His character Gary Puddles. But like, there are brief moments where it's like the acting's great.
Okay.
Cinematography solid. There's nothing where. I know there's the thing about CinemaScore had Madame Web as a C+ and Joker Folie à Deux as a D. I don't know where CinemaScore gets that. That makes no sense because there are literal mistakes in Madame Web where stuff doesn't match.
Yeah,
editing's
bad. That's charming though, Michael.
That is the thing. Madame Web is like enjoyable bad. This is not enjoyable bad. It's just bad.
It's mid. It's very mid.
Because
I gave it 2.5 stars on Letterboxd.
Okay.
Because I was looking at other 2-star movies that I've seen. And I was like, well, it's not really that bad. It's just it doesn't go full bore into a lot of the ideas.
Yeah.
Because there's a case to be made that it tries to look at how mental health is treated in our state systems. You know, in terms of court, in terms of prison, and. It's an idea that's expressed a little bit, but doesn't really push it. There's different ideas where...
There's a lot of parts where they brush up against being a good movie, and then they go away from it to sing for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like the most succinct way to put it. It's like it's almost a good movie, and then they start singing.
And for people that are mad about it not being more DC-connected, DC-focused, because there's outside of Harvey Dent, Harley Quinn, which they don't even call her Harley Quinn. They call her Lee.
Yeah.
And Arthur Fleck. There is no other like genuine connections. But that is not a detriment to the movie. That is what the movie is. And I think that was made clear in the first one.
Yeah.
If you're coming here for Connected Universe, DC Connections, you're at the wrong movie.
Okay.
And I would say that for the first one as well.
And if you're looking for a spoiler-filled review, a more in-depth version of what you just heard, you can listen to issue 560 of Comicast, Michael Carroll with Elliot of Movie Files. They break down all you need to know about Joker Folie à Deux. Maybe you've already seen it. You want to hear other people talk about it? That's there for you.
Fun fact, Elliot did not like it either. So there you go.
So we're at 3 for 3 for people here.
It's very statistically probable that if you talk to any person who's seen this movie, they don't like
it. There's one reviewer that I follow that I wanted to get on the podcast because they liked it, but her schedule didn't work. But there is like, out of the people that I follow, there is like one person that likes
it. I'm just saying because the Rotten Tomatoes are in the 30s, are.
9 out of 10 don't like it.
You have a 30%, 7 out of 10.
Okay, 7 out of 10.
All right. So, you can make your own opinion, or if you've seen it, once again, you can listen to Michael Carroll, form your own opinion, excuse me. But if you listen and you've seen it, you can go listen to Michael Carroll and his full-on review of Joker Folie à Deux, 560, issue 560 from Comicast. Okay, let's be kind and say it had middling reviews.
Yeah, I would say middling reviews. Yeah.
What about things you are all in on as far as what people can watch this week?
This weekend, theater-wise, I don't know of – there's like five big releases, I would say. Piece by Piece, the Pharrell docuseries, documentary kind of, but it's told in Lego. It's getting good reviews, so if folks want to go check that out. We Live in Time, the Florence Pugh, Andrew Garfield romance drama movie. Yeah. That's getting good reviews. The Apprentice with Sebastian Stan as Donald Trump. If you want to go watch that, that's out there. That's a wide release. Saturday night. The personal, like, low-key one that I know it's probably not the best movie of this bunch, but The Silent Hour with Joel Kinnaman is out there in a limited release. So it may be a little bit hard for people to go see it. It may not have a ton of theater times, but that one I'm curious about as Joel Kinnaman plays a cop who's returning to duty after permanent hearing loss.
If you don't know that name, you'd know the face. Certainly, he is from The Killing. He was in Suicide Squad. If you see that face, you're gonna know who he is, even if you don't know his name. Also, he's in For All Mankind on Apple TV as well.
Altered Carbon on Netflix. Yes, first season of
that.
He's been in a ton of stuff.
Yes, that if you listen to us and you like what we're doing here, you've seen it. Suicide Squad, For All Mankind, Altered Carbon as well. So that's in a theater. You got anything for people who want to stay home?
There's a lot. So Uprising, a film, a Korean film, South Korean film that's on Netflix right now. It looks pretty, like if you want just action movie, like high budget action flick, that looks like a good way to go. La Machina with Gael Garcia Bernal and Diego Luna is on Hulu, which is that one's getting really good reviews so far. I'm very curious about that one.
Have they done something before together? Like a Acclaim movie from years ago?
Yeah, Itu.
Tambien. It was like those two as young dudes and there was this older woman.
Yeah. I think that was 2001.
Yeah, a love affair, yeah.
And so this is like they've kind of done projects here and there, but this is the first time I think that they've done a series together.
Okay.
Gael plays a aging boxer. Diego Luna plays his friend that helps him get back to the top after a devastating loss. But of course, nefarious people get involved. It's a whole thing. Diego Luna looks unrecognizable because of the character that he's playing. It looks good. I really want to watch this. This is probably outside of Uprising. Those are like my top two picks for streaming wise. Again, La Machina's on Hulu. Uprising's on Netflix. But you have Disclaimer, a limited series on Apple TV Plus starring Cate Blanchett.
I watched the first episode plus of that.
Any?
I'm not sure about it
yet.
Not
sure? Okay.
Maybe I can't really go in on it too much because I was in a haze. I was about to fall asleep. So I can't crush it or really say it's great. I may have to give the first episode a rewatch. It has Kevin Kline in it. Mm-hmm. It has a Cate Blanchett in it as well. It is a story about a woman who... the mystery's evolving, but for the most part, it looks like a woman, the Cate Blanchett character, did something when she was young that completely destroyed a family. That's what they're saying. I don't know about her side of the story. And Kevin Kline is someone who's trying to take some revenge on her for that. So his character is. So we'll see how that plays out. It's okay so far. I got through one. I was looking forward to see two, and I just kind of – episode two, so I kind of fell asleep. So I would say give it a look and see if – a drama like that is for you.
Also, if you're looking for something like a comedy drama, this new show called Sweet Pea starring Ella Purnell is on Stars. It's getting currently, it's not like a ton of reviews, but it's 100% right now on Rotten Tomatoes for folks if they want to check that out. I'm a fan of Ella Purnell. So.
She was in a Fallout. She was a major character in the first season of Yellow Jackets. Mm-hmm. You could guess why she may not be a major character in season two if you know what that show is about. But yeah, once again, one of those people who, she's a British actress, so I don't know how, if you know her by name, but if you've seen Yellow Jackets, you've seen Fallout on Prime, that face is going to be pretty familiar.
Also, I watched the first season of this show, Citadel, when it released, I think it was last year.
I didn't think much of it, to be honest.
It wasn't good. Yeah. It was not
good. But it's a whole connected universe. I didn't know because they have Citadel, Diana.
Diana releasing today.
I watched the first couple episodes yesterday. It's all in full, I think. You can see them all. It's an Italian language version. Sorry, Sean, subtitles. Also, there is an Indian version of that coming out, too. Honey, I think a Citadel Honey something.
Because the idea is the Citadel Group is a worldwide organization. So the franchise element of it came from that. Like, what if we have Citadel starring people here, people there?
Citadel Honey Bunny is the Indian version of it. It'll come out, I think, later.
Next year?
I think it's in November. Yeah, it's November 7th.
Where did the...
I didn't know Citadel had that type of pull. That
I didn't know
Citadel. It was popular enough to get two spinoffs.
Also, I watched the 49ers-Seahawks game last night, and that was the first time I had heard about Citadel Diana.
I had seen it because I watched a lot of Prime, so I knew it was coming.
Okay.
But I didn't know the date. I just knew that at some point this was going to be.
I had zero idea that this was coming this weekend.
Like the Richard Madden, Priyanka, I don't know how to say her last name. She's married to one of the Jonas Brothers. Yeah. I just forgot her last name. Sorry about that. Chapranka, I think maybe is her last name. Chapranka. She was in it with Richard Madden, who is Robb Stark. I said, I'm out of here. I don't want to watch this. And then they turned it into a entire franchise.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming at all.
I remember I think because the Russos are kind of involved or something. Yeah. But
Priyanka Chopra is her name.
The red flag was they were trying to start a franchise before they even got the first thing off the ground.
Yeah, so they're kind of already locked in. Yeah.
And the show Citadel with Richard Madden and her, it was not good. It was more substance than style. It was more style than substance. And at that, the style is like, okay, but it's not great.
So I watched the first episode or two of Diana. It's better than the English language Citadel show. So we'll see how it goes.
It's getting solid reviews, 83% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
So there it is. There's plenty to watch. I'm sure there's more we didn't get to because Michael's always in. You got
Starting Five, last thing. Starting Five, the NBA docuseries.
Yeah, that some of the clips from that is kind of nuts. I mean, Sean and I joke about Jimmy Butler's lack of availability or buy-in sometimes. And turns out he was going – I knew he had a leave of absence. Turns out his dad died last year, and that led to a leave of absence. So you're getting a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff with some of the NBA's most prominent names. Jason Tatum's in it. Anthony Edwards is in it. That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, Starting that's on Five. Netflix.
So you can find that, too. If you want some behind-the-scenes of last year's season, you can take a look at that. And Anthony Edwards, we know, is a character. I'm not sure the send the video part of his life is going to be part of that. I'm not sure Netflix got that part because the story about that's broken. The last couple of hours that he's not taking that woman at her word currently. So we'll see how that goes going forward. Anthony Edwards, star player on social media and in the NBA. So we'll see where that leads. All right, Michael, thank you for joining us. Michael Carroll, Comicast, host of that. John Lee still on paternity leave. He'll be back at some point, but Michael Carroll's doing a great job right now.
Thank you.
8 to 9. Here on ESPN 975. Remember, it is the Joker Folie à Deux review. No,
it's Agatha Long and the Penguin review.
You can find that. But if you want to see all he's done this week, just find Comicast wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you, Michael. One segment to go before we're done for the week. We'll be back.
ESPN 975.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Texans practice is beginning. Joe Mixon is back at practice, so that's good news. We'll see what his designation is after practice. We'll see if he's full or limited and whether he's questionable or no designation, which would mean he's good to go for Sunday against the Patriots. So that'll be something the shows later on can discuss. I mentioned this earlier regarding injury news, and we talked a lot about Texas OU, the number one team in the country, in action against their biggest rival, particularly since they don't play A&M anymore until this year. The top five wide receivers for Oklahoma are not playing. Deion Burks, Nick Anderson, Andrew Anthony, Jaleel Farouk, Jaden Gibson, they're all out. I'm not a huge bettor, but with a young quarterback, top five wide receivers out, that Oklahoma under team total seems like a pretty good bet. Texas has a good defense. Oklahoma doesn't have anyone to challenge them. Kind of like it. Kind of like the under team total, unless that Sooner magic nonsense starts. But there's no reason on paper to think Oklahoma's going to challenge Texas on paper.
Yeah, yeah. The thing with the under, or the team under especially, is turnovers and things like that.
Yes, short fields for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, they got a pick six 2 weeks ago against Auburn. Yeah. So they can force turnovers. Brent Venables is a good defensive coordinator. He's a great defensive. Might be the best defensive coordinator in college football.
And Quinn Ewers, particularly early last year.
Yeah, he threw, I think, two picks.
Wasn't good.
Yeah. But then he settled in and completed like 25 straight passes in the second half. Yeah. So there is a little bit of, I mean, that last sentence is the Red River experience.
Two picks.
It starts with two picks. There's like a block punt in there too. And also they end by moving the ball super well, and then they lose.
And still lose.
The
guy who completed 20 plus passes in a row still lost the game.
Yes. These games are long. But as a fan, they feel like they're 17 hours long.
Yeah.
And it feels like the battle of the Alamo every time.
And as we said before, it's a good weekend in the sport, at least on paper. Last week, we didn't expect much, and we got chaos throughout the sport. Yeah. But we talked about it earlier this week, Ole Miss going to LSU. LSU's a road dog at home.
Home dog.
Yeah, you're right. Home dog. That was actually the big point of it all. They're a home dog at night in Tiger Stadium. And Brian Kelly I think he's 16-1. At home as the LSU coach. And in night games, it's even better. I think he's undefeated in night games at LSU. The trend is take LSU. Oregon is hosting Ohio State as a home dog. Going across time zones, Ohio State, their first major test. I think their only other road game was at Michigan State. Kind of like Oregon here too. I think they'll have enough offensively. And I don't trust Will Howard very much. It's just my bias against Will Howard. I know he was fine at Kansas State, but he's a step down at quarterback. Not from Kyle McCord per se, but that's why Kyle McCord's gone. But as far as the thought of playmaking Ohio State quarterbacks, he doesn't fit.
No.
Which one of these things is not like the other?
He's not Justin Fields. He's not CJ Stroud.
Not even JT Barrett, honestly. But he'll get a shot to prove a lot of not just me. A lot of people are questioning him in that environment.
Cardale Jones.
Yeah, not even.
Braxton Miller.
He's not any of those guys for multiple reasons. He'll get a shot, though.
It's at least one difference.
Yeah, Sean, I get it. I just didn't want to highlight it.
Craig Krenzel. There we go.
Yeah, national champion. He shouldn't be. That flag still bothers Miami people 20-something years later. But it's a big weekend, and there are some games like Kansas State, Colorado. Colorado State. Colorado is 4-1 in the Big 12 title chase. Team that a lot of people are laughing at, they got a shot. They got Kansas State in Boulder, so we'll see how that goes. We're done. Gallant and George up next. So if we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.